Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
I think that now there's very few governments around the world who hold to a position of not recognizing the Venezuelan election result. In fact, Maduro was sworn in yesterday, so he is now the president. There's no two ways about that. But the interesting thing is that even some Latin American governments, which are not close to the Bolivarian Revolution by any stretch of imagination, the right-wing governments like Colombia, Mexico, and Chile, for instance, they were quick to recognize the election results. They know that there's no basis for these claims of fraud.
That's the voice of Jorge Martin, International Secretariat of Hands Off Venezuela. On this week's show, we speak to Jorge as a recap of the Venezuelan elections and the turmoil that followed. Jorge gives an accurate description of what's happening on the ground in Venezuela, counteracting many of the mainstream myths and confusion. So stay tuned.
We are very privileged this morning to have Jorge Martí, who is the secretary at the Secretariat for Hands Off Venezuela, and very privileged to have him on our program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me again.
Now, first of all, the Venezuelan election has now taken place. President Maduro has won the election. Can we talk about the results?
Yes, President Maduro, as you said, won the election, although by a small margin. He got approximately 7.5 million votes for 7.2 million votes for the opposition candidate Capriles. So the result was narrower than in previous elections, but nevertheless, 14 years later, it's another victory for the Bolivarian revolution.
Now, when we look at the way the media has received news of the results of the election, we immediately have seen the same rhetoric from governments like Canada and the U.S. who refuse to accept the legitimacy of this election. What does this signify in terms of threats? We know that in the past the U.S. has been involved in an attempted coup against President Chavez. Should we be concerned about this?
Yeah, we should be really concerned, because what really has happened in the last 1 week in Venezuela was nothing less than an attempted coup against the democratic will of the people, you know. Immediately after the results were announced on Sunday night, Capriles, the opposition candidate, the candidate backed by Washington, came out on TV, and he said that he did not recognize the results of the elections, and that there had been fraud, and he had won the election. Now it's extremely difficult to conduct any election fraud in Venezuela. I mean, the elections take place on a computerized system. It's an automatic voting system, so all the information is collected automatically. The machines and the system is provided by the same company that does it's called SmartMIC. Provides the same system for the elections in the United States. But interestingly, after the election is closed, there is an audit of 54% of all polling booths. Electoral observers from both campaigns, they are able to audit the results of that particular polling station, and they check the paper registers, the paper receipts from the vote against the results that the machines are giving. They check that the machines are working properly. And opposition observers throughout the country signed to this the minutes of this audit, which audits 54% of all polling booths. So it's clear there was no fraud. Plus, there were plenty of international observers from UNASUR, from the Organization of American States, from the European Union, from the Spanish Parliament, representing all parties, including the right-wing parties. They all said that they thought that the elections had been conducted in a free and fair way, and that the system was foolproof. So there was no fraud. But nevertheless, what happened is that the opposition refused to recognize the results. And not only this, but they launched a campaign of violence and intimidation, violence in the streets. And it was a concerted campaign, you could see. I mean, at the same time that the opposition candidate was making his press conference, this was being broadcasted live on CNN in Spanish throughout Latin America. Immediately, the Organization of American States said that they wanted a full recount. The same thing was said by the United States government, and the Spanish government added its voice to the chorus, demanding a full recount. Now, first of all, a full recount is not possible in Venezuela because this is, as I said, an automated system. What one could ask for is an audit of the rest of the polling booths that were not audited, which is 46%. That's fair enough. But the point is that the opposition candidate did not even ask for such an audit. He just said that he didn't recognize the results without presenting any proof or any allegation. There's a number of legal ways in which you can present allegations about particular polling booths, about general situations, and so on. He did not contact the National Electoral Council or the Supreme Court of Justice to contest the election results. He just announced it on the media. And immediately after, a campaign of violence and intimidation started. And on Monday night, eight people were killed in acts of violence carried out by supporters of the opposition. They were killed while defending health clinics. Health clinics were torched down by opposition supporters. National Electoral Council offices were attacked. Offices of the ruling Socialist Party were also attacked in different parts of the country. And a whole number of buildings housing the different social programs of the government were attacked. Now, we're not just talking about people who are angry. They think there's been election fraud and they come out in the streets to protest. We're talking here about eight people who were killed by shotguns, by a gunshot, in one night. So, I mean, this is not a coincidence. This is not a random acts of killing. These were all people who were defending either health centers, health clinics, or official buildings, buildings of the Socialist Party. And they were killed. And the idea was to create such a situation of tension, combining violence in the streets, killing of government supporters, Bolivarian supporters, the non-recognition of the elections by international bodies and governments, to create a situation which will force perhaps the army to intervene. Basically, they were preparing a coup, and the final act of this coup was to be a demonstration that was going to take place on Wednesday, where the opposition was supposed to march on the National Electoral Council demanding a full recount. Now, what happened was that, so as you say, we should be very worried. I mean, the Organization of American States, the United States, and the Spanish government, they all participated in the coup in 2002, which is 11 years ago. Now, in April 2002. So this was a concerted campaign. We should be very worried. But what happened was that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, then the Bolivarian people started coming out on the streets, defending the health centers, defending the PSUV offices, defending. There were also assaults on government TV stations, buildings. There were also assaults on community and alternative media outlets, TVs, radio stations, newspapers, and so on. And the people came out and started defending the revolution. It is true, and it needs to be discussed, why the margin is so narrow, because Chavez won by a difference, by a much bigger difference, 10 percentage points, and now Maduro has won by 1.6 points. So it's clear that something has happened between October last year and now, and this needs to be discussed, and the Bolivarian revolution needs to look at this question, why these votes were lost, and where the message didn't go out properly. But nevertheless, I mean, in any country of the world, you win an election by whatever margin you win. I mean, in the United States itself, there was an election in when Bush won for the first time, where he didn't even get the majority of the popular vote in an election that was full of irregularities. Nevertheless, he was declared a victor, and there's been many other elections like this. In Venezuela itself, Capriles, who's the governor of the candidate of the opposition and the governor of Miranda, only won the governorship of Miranda by a similar margin of 1.8%. When in 2007, President Chavez proposed a reform of the Constitution. He lost the referendum by a smaller margin than this, and he recognized the result. He didn't say, oh, there's been fraud, and we're going to challenge this, and we don't accept the result. So, I mean, if you participate in an election, then you should accept the result. If you recognize the arbiter, in this case the National Electoral Council, you should recognize the result. And also, another important point I think we should make is that in the last week, there's been all these reports about violence in Venezuela, but nowhere in the international media I have seen any clear indication or explanation that all of the people being killed are socialist supporters of the Bolivarian Revolution. They just vaguely talk about violence leading to 8 people died. It is now 9 because another person was killed last night. But 9 people have been killed, and they are all supporters of the Socialist Party, members of the Socialist Party. They all died while defending health clinics and other buildings related to the social programs of the government or the National Electoral Council. So this is not just a case of clashes and random violence. This is a case of an orchestrated campaign of killing socialist activists in Venezuela, and there's nothing of that is being clearly explained in the international media.
I think it's also worthy of mentioning that while the government of Canada may have taken the same route as the U.S. and said they did not recognize the results, the people in Canada, there had been several gatherings and demonstrations in support of the Venezuelan people, and many people are asking for our government to recognize and to respect the autonomy of Venezuela and to respect the process that has taken place. I also want to point out that while these discussions are taking place in the media, UNASUR, the countries of UNASUR got together on Thursday, and I wonder if you could talk about how this gathering, this coming together, has perhaps isolated or delegitimized the opposition's claims of fraudulence.
Yes. I think that now there's very few governments around the world who hold to a position of not recognizing the Venezuelan election result. In fact, Maduro was sworn in yesterday, so he is now the president. There's no two ways about that. But the interesting thing is that even some Latin American governments, which are not close to the Bolivarian Revolution by any stretch of imagination, the right-wing governments like Colombia, Mexico and Chile, for instance, they were quick to recognize the election results. They know that there's no basis for these claims of fraud. Spain, which also did not recognize the results, was then threatened by Maduro. Maduro said, this is an interference in our sovereign affairs, and we warn you that we're going to withdraw our ambassador, and also that Spain has a lot of investment. Spanish multinationals have investment, important investments in Venezuela, and this will be in risk if you continue with this imperialist intervention. Immediately, the Spanish government changed its line and decided to recognize the government. Also, something else happened. On Wednesday, finally, after 8 people had already been killed, the opposition in Venezuela decided to present some formal complaints, lodge some formal complaints in front of the National Electoral Council. So then, finally, on Thursday night, I think it was, the Electoral Council ruled that they were going to audit the remaining 46% of polling stations, the results in 46% remaining polling stations. So that has calmed the situation down a bit. And as I say, I think this is mainly the United States government, perhaps the Canadian government as well, as the British government, that they still not issued a clear statement recognizing the new government. The UNASUR summit on Thursday also played an important role because, as I say, it is all the countries in South America. UNASUR is more or less like the Organization of American States, with the difference that Canada and the United States are not present. And so this UNASUR community of nations in South America passed a unanimous resolution not only recognizing the government but praising the Venezuelan people for the free and democratic election and calling on all parties to recognize the result of the election. So I think that did have an impact. But I will say that the main role in deactivating this threat of a coup was played by the people and by the Bolivarian people themselves. They came out on the streets. they defended the healthcare buildings. I mean, I could give you many, many different examples of working class and revolutionary neighborhoods where people came out and basically took the streets to defend democracy, to defend the election result, faced with an attempt to win through violence and street mobilizations what they had not been able to win at the ballot box.
Now, we do need to talk about what Maduro needs to do now, because as you point out, the margin by which he won is considerably lower than that of the previous elections by Hugo Chavez. It's still worthy noting that, you know, he has over the majority, he has the majority of the popular vote.
Yes. What
does he need to do to make the processes that Chavez began, the agricultural reforms, that, you know, social reforms, to advance those reforms in order to once again strengthen the force of the Bolivarian Revolution?
I mean, I have been on your program many times, and you have heard me in the past say that there is a danger to the Bolivarian Revolution. The danger is that if you have a revolution which is not completed, which is left halfway for a very long period of time, a whole number of problems start to crop up that are not being solved. And this can demoralize a section of the people, social base of the revolution who have been voting for Chavez all these years. And make them think, well, okay, there's this revolution, there's all these social gains that we have achieved, which are many and very impressive, but at the same time, there are still problems that have not been solved. There's a scarcity of basic food products, there are electricity blackouts, there is high inflation. All these problems, in my opinion, are related directly or indirectly to the fact that the capitalist economy still exists. For instance, in the last 3 or 4 months, there's been a constant campaign of sabotage of the economy on the part of the capitalists, all of them siding with the opposition candidate. Maduro himself explained on election night when he was making his speech in celebrating the victory, he said, this campaign has been it's not been a normal election campaign, it's been an economic war of attrition. And he detailed how every time he went to a particular region of the country, there will be a blackout. Now, these blackouts are happening in Venezuela not because there's no capacity to generate energy. And it's the deliberate sabotage of people inside the electricity company, which is state-owned, and all the people sabotaging the electricity grid. This is not by chance. The lack of basic products in the supermarkets is also deliberate sabotage. In Venezuela, there is one company, Polar, the owner of which, Mendoza, is aligned with the opposition, and they have a monopoly control over distribution of food in Venezuela. And they've been withdrawing food from the markets. The week before the election, the workers at Polar, they made a press statement denouncing this. They said, we know there are secret warehouses where basic food stuff is being kept away from the market, away from the supermarkets, so that people can't get to these products. And the result of this is that people start to think, well, I mean, well, what is this about? We have a revolution, but we don't have sugar, we don't have flour, we don't have maize flour and stuff like that. We don't have coffee, we don't have toothpaste in the supermarkets. And this, obviously, has an effect of wearing down the support for the revolution. Now, what is the way of solving this problem? I will say that the only way to solve this problem is to put the economy under the democratic planning and under workers' control. There is no reason why these people who are known saboteurs, the oligarchy, have been using the economic power to sabotage the democratic will of the majority ever since Chavez was elected in 1998. There's plenty of proof of that, and there's plenty of evidence of that, and now the government should act on these questions. Maduro said specifically that he will remain committed to the socialist Bolivarian aims of the revolution, and that he will radicalize the revolution faced with the threat of violence by the opposition, that they were playing with fire, and that they could find themselves with the radicalization of the revolution. There's another Bolivarian leader, Blanca Icaut, who's now the second vice president of the National Assembly, and she said specifically, because the opposition were playing with the idea of a boss's lockout, i.e. the bosses shut down the factory, shut down production, they said, if that comes through, we will call on the workers to occupy the factories, because this is not on. This is the way forward. I mean, amongst the revolutionary ranks, the ranks of the Bolivarian Revolution, there is a lot of anger at people within the Bolivarian movement, governors, mayors, high officials, high-ranking officials in different ministries, who are not really revolutionaries or socialists. They're sabotaging the revolution from within, and people are demanding tough action. So I will say, and Maduro has hinted at this in the last few days, that the only way to strengthen the Bolivarian Revolution and to win back a section of the people who voted for Chavez in October and now have voted for the opposition, there's maybe 700,000 of those, is by solving the concrete problems that people are facing. Inflation and scarcity of basic food products amongst them, also electricity blackouts and also crime. And the way to do that is by putting an end to the capitalist system in Venezuela, by expropriating the oligarchy and putting all these resources that exist in the country at the service of the democratic will of the majority and the democratic workers' control. I would say that's the only way. The revolution needs to be radicalized in the direction of socialism, which is really the true legacy of what Hugo Chavez always said.
I wanted to ask you, now, while the Venezuela has posed an example, not just for Latin America, but for many countries worldwide, of a country that, you know, only 15, 20 years ago was in destitute poverty and has created immense changes in terms of social change, can you talk a little bit about this rising in violence? Because violence has also been rising in Venezuela. And how do you explain that, and what can we do?
It's a very complex issue, and there is no simple explanation for this. On the one hand, it has to be said that criminality has increased in Venezuela according to all official statistics, according to all, everyone can see that. Even myself, I don't live in Venezuela, but I visit frequently, and you can see that. I think that there's a number of different factors for this, and therefore the solution is not an easy one. But one factor is the increased penetration of criminal gangs and networks from Colombia into Venezuela. Some of those have been let in and encouraged to come in by the opposition, by elements within the opposition, more fringe, extreme elements within the opposition itself. Others have been encouraged to come in by the fact that they can make a lot of money by being involved in the black market for food and other stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of products that are subsidized in Venezuela or sold at a fixed price. If they buy this stuff in Venezuela and then they sell it in Colombia at full price, then they make a lot of money just by smuggling, you know. So this has increased in the last period. I will say there's other factors. One is that the old police forces that used to be under the authority of the local councils and the regional governments and so on have not been fully disbanded, and in many cases these are very extremely corrupt police forces. Quite a lot of the crime in Venezuela is carried out by police officers, while a new Bolivarian national police is being created, but the old one has not been fully removed. This is also a source of crime, you know. And also, in general, I will say that this is a society where everything is changing. The people are challenging the old state structures, the old authority, and so on. But a new revolutionary authority has not been fully put in place. So this gives rise to a lot of like a vacuum of power in which all sorts of criminal elements are allowed to roam free. Finally, another important thing to take into account is that the opposition uses, in a cynical way, this question of crime in order to blame the government as if the government was responsible for this crime wave. The government is not really responsible, although it could have done certain things that could have alleviated the situation. But it's worth pointing out that the one state in the country that has the highest level of crime and the highest rising crime levels is Miranda, which is ruled by the opposition, by Capriles himself. So it's all very well to criticize the government for this, but the opposition, where they are in power, they haven't managed to stop this. I would say that the way to solve this is also again by introducing a socialist economy and socialist or revolutionary state structures in which the people themselves are armed in an organized way through the militias. The militias already exist, but they should be expanded and given more responsibilities. And the people can deal with policing their own communities, the police forces, whichever the names, the People's Guard, there's one that's called, no, the People's Guard, that these police forces are under the control of the communities themselves. Because in any given community, people know who the criminals are, and if given the opportunity and the tools, they can deal with this problem. But this means also removing the old state apparatus, all the corrupt judges, politicians, police officers and commissioners and so on, that part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. For more information, please visit the website for handsoffvenezuela.org.
We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.